There we go. Excellent. Right. How are we all doing this morning? Okay?
Yeah. Good. That's all right. Who's written their Christmas thank you letters?
Oh dear. Well,
okay. Oh, there's a few out there. Yeah. So when you're writing letters, maybe Christmas letters, maybe other parties, scarves, hello. It's on and it's not muted. The pelvic. Nope.
Right, we'll go back to lectern. I'm not going to be wandering around. Can you hear me on this one? No? It's on. It's the master on mute. Something's not working. No, if they're all off, then it's master mute. It's muted on the master. How are we doing? Is the lapel working now? Lapel's off. Okay, right. I'll have to stand still then. There we go. Right, anyway. Christmas thank you letters. That's where we got to, wasn't it? We haven't written very many. I don't know. Oh, right, anyway. So, anyway, if you're writing a letter, how do you start your letters?
Dear Tim.
Thank you, dear Tim. That's right. And how do you finish them? Yours faithfully, yours sincerely. Love from all kinds of different ways. Now, the Bible reading that Fred just read for us so beautifully is from the beginning of a letter. And it's a letter from Peter, who was one of Jesus' closest friends, to Christians living in a load of different places. But back then, they wrote letters slightly differently. Rather than starting with the name of the person they were writing to and finishing with their own name, they started with their own name and then said who they were writing to. So in this case, we heard the first bit was Peter, an apostle of Christ Jesus. That's who he was writing. And then he said who he was writing to. God's elect, exiles scattered in all those different places. Now, so far this morning, we've been thinking about being scattered, haven't we? And we might not live in Pontus or Bithynia, wherever they might be. Anybody know where Pontus or Bithynia are? No? Turkey or somewhere, I imagine. Anyway, we don't live there. But we do live and work and go to school in all kinds of different places, just like we put all the counters out on the map this morning, all round Telford and even wider. And we've thought about the way in which being scattered means that we can meet lots of different people and share with them the good news of Jesus in all these different places. But these other two words that Paul uses, exiles and elect, I wonder what they mean. So, what's an exile? Jemima's not sure. Can anybody help Jemima out? What's an exile? Someone who's been sent away. That's right. It's someone who's had to leave their home and live somewhere else. And for many of the people that Peter was writing to, that was physically true. They'd had to leave Rome or Jerusalem, wherever they came from, and they'd had to go and live in all these different regions. Now, I wonder, has anybody been on holiday to a different country? Who here has been away? You have it. Very good. Lots of people being on holiday away to a different country. Now, who here has been on a holiday in a place where they didn't speak the language? It's a bit weird, isn't it? It's a bit difficult. Did you always understand what was happening? No. Could you always read the road signs? Could you always read the menus? No. Oh, dear. And that can be quite nice for a couple of weeks, going and sampling a different place to live. But can you imagine what it might feel like if you had to go and live there permanently and make your home there when you didn't understand the language and you didn't understand the road signs and you didn't understand the menus and it was just all a bit strange? That's what being an exile is, going to live somewhere a bit strange. Now, we might not be exiles physically, but there is a way in which everybody who follows Jesus is an exile. You see, a little bit later in that reading, Peter talks about an inheritance that's being kept for us. Now, where was it being kept? Where is it being kept? In heaven. That's right. If we're friends and followers of Jesus, then heaven is where our true home is. That's where our inheritance is. That's the place where we are completely safe and well, whole and holy, loved and loving. It's in heaven with God. And when we're not there, when we're still living on earth, we are, in a sense, living in a strange place. We're living in exile. So, what about being elect, being chosen? What does that mean? Well, we had a general election last year, didn't we? Yeah, everybody's very excited about that. Just bear with me a minute. I know. Anyway, so what does it mean to be elected to Parliament? Go on, Harry. You're being chosen to go and serve in Parliament, be a member of Parliament. That's right. Okay, so that's what it means. Who does the choosing in a general election? All the people, all the voters, us. How do you think they made a choice about who to vote for? I'm not sure I'm going to allow contributions on this one. In an ideal world, they'll have read all the election literature, they'll have read the manifestos, they'll have prayed about it, they'll have thought about it, decided who they like most, all kinds of different reasons. Okay, and what do they do to indicate their choice? They put a cross in a box, don't they, on an election slip. That's right. And when they get to the House of Commons, when they are chosen to be Parliament, what do? Yeah, okay. Let's be generous. They make the laws. They make the decisions about how this country is going to run. And they help represent the people who live in the areas that they represent. Now, okay, so that's the general election. Okay. What about God's election? Which is actually what Peter is writing about. We're talking about people who have been chosen. Who have they been chosen by? God. They've been chosen by God. Okay. Now, how did God make that choice? Yeah. Well, Peter says, from what we read, that God chose according to his foreknowledge. You see, the information and knowledge that we have when we make our choice in a general election is never complete. But God's knowledge is perfect. God has known all about us since before we were born. And what did God do to indicate that choice? Peter uses this image of Jesus' blood being sprinkled on those who God chooses. And when did Jesus bleed? When he was on the cross. We draw a cross to show who we choose in the election. Jesus went to the cross to show that he chooses us. And finally, what are we chosen for? What are we chosen to do? Peter goes on to praise God for what we are chosen for. We are chosen for a new birth into a living hope. That's what we're chosen for. A new birth into a living hope. And that's fantastic. But it's not all. Peter also writes that we are chosen to be obedient to Jesus Christ. As Paul writes in one of his letters to the church at Corinth, you are not your own. You are bought at a price. You see, there's more than the differences we've already thought about between the general election and God's election. In the general election, how many people are elected? Anybody know? 650 on mine, but I'll take it. It's about 600 and odd. But in God's election, my understanding is that everybody is chosen. Everyone is elected by God. The only question is whether we say yes to that election. God chooses all of us. But do we all choose God? And when we do choose God, when we say yes to that election, when we are agreeing to obey God, even when we don't feel like it and even when we don't understand, we're also choosing to receive that new life, that new hope, the glorious inheritance that is being kept in heaven for us. We live as exiles on earth now, but with the knowledge that we will be at home in heaven. And so we scatter to share the good news, to be the good news, so that more and more people can have the opportunity to say yes to God's election of them. Amen.